Welcome to the Grace Community Church Sermons Podcast. Each week we share the sermon from this last week's service. We hope this sermon encourages and equips you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's listen in now.
I love that song too. One of my, I would say, the most calming places for me to be, other than obviously with my family, is on the beach at the ocean. Just looking at, from what you can see, the miles and miles and miles of nature and what God does. And I was flashing back just a minute there. I don't remember how old I was. I was young, maybe 11 or 12. We were going to the Outer Banks for one of the first times, and we'd gotten there, and we weren't really aware of what the different color flags meant. It had been shortly, as I remember it, and my dad could probably correct me if I'm wrong, but it was a massive storm had come through, and we went out, the guys, with my uncles, and let's just say the waves were probably larger and we shouldn't have been in the ocean. But as I was thinking about this song, I can remember, God brought this memory back to me. If we were out, and we were out, what seemed like a long, long way to me, 11, 12, 13, whatever age it was, and the waves are like so big, and you get in the trough of one of those waves, you can't see anything but water on either side of you. And I was thinking, how in the world am I going to get through this? And I got knocked around, and we tried to ride waves that are bigger than we should have. And I remember it was either my dad or one of my uncles probably saw me struggling and came over. And one of the times, and you know, you felt like, okay, this might be the end of times, but I'm sure it wasn't as bad as it felt like at 11 or 12. But then there was a hand on me. And suddenly I saw, and I don't remember if it was my dad or my, I feel like it was my dad, but I don't remember. And suddenly the waves were not quite as big. And I picture that in that idea of being in the midst, you know, following Jesus. If you think that following Jesus is going to be easy, you're sadly mistaken. See, following Jesus being with you doesn't mean he takes you out of the storm. It just means he's right there with you, putting his hand on your shoulder. And I can remember praying last week, and I had talked to Paula's daughters, at least one of them, at a VBS, and we were talking about this. And I jokingly said, well, you know, with your mom's in her health, sometimes it could just be her autoimmune stuff. It could be out of whack, and her lymph nodes could have gotten bigger, and that's what we were praying for. And to hear her when she called me and you know told me that, I just was like blown away. That is God in the midst of the storm. And we stood right here, and we didn't know last week. And I told her, and I think you probably heard me, I said, we trust God. We believe that he can, but every step this week, we're going to trust him either way. And so when I think about that and how God brings this message to fruition, we're going to be in Acts chapter 14. And that idea, the title of the message is Strength to Finish the Journey. And how it all comes together. And we're following Paul and Barnabas on this first missionary journey, and they were sent out. We read in Acts 13 that the elders of the church prayed, and the Holy Spirit said, these men are commissioned, send them out to do my work. And Paul and Barnabas went. Paul and Barnabas took a journey, and this now we're getting to the point in the journey where they're starting to return home, getting ready to return home. And they left from Antioch, in Syrian Antioch, on a mission. And they saw many things, ups and downs, challenges, rewards. But one thing stood out to me that is so true to us too, is they were coming to the end of a season of ministry. And we had seen them obey and take steps and take this journey. And then this idea of seasons keep coming back into my mind. And if we think about seasons of life, we see seasons in this nature, right? God's created nature. That's one of the coolest things about Ohio is we get a front row seat to see four seasons. Now, I'm not happy when we see them all in one week, but that happens. But this idea of spring and new life and then summer and excitement and living that out and enjoying the outdoors and then fall reminding us that things are coming to an end for that season, the leaves changing color, and then the brutal winters where we're cheering, we can't wait for the weather to get warmer, and then we come back to summer this week when it's going to be in the 90s, and we're like, well, that's too hot, God. But this idea of seasons of life, right? Things change. Things go through that, and I think that that's going to be a theme that we see throughout this message. So in missionary journey number one was nearly done. The work that they had set out to do was wrapping up. And perhaps the most challenging part of this was they were ready for that journey home. So today I'm going to read the passage. Of course, I'm going to share my comments, give an application. But before we jump in, let's pray for God to give us what we need today. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for our ability to have this word and to study this word and to know you better. Thank you for recording the beginnings of this early church so that we could see your work. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would allow us to make connections through what we're reading and the applications for our life today. Let our hearts be open to the timeless truths that can be applicable in our life. Lord, I ask that you remove any stumbling blocks from our paths, both in my speech or the audience's ears. God, they would hear what the Holy Spirit has for us. Lord, let our eyes be open and our ears be available to hear your message today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So go ahead and turn with me to Acts chapter 14. We're going to be reading verses 21 through 28. Remember, the references will come up on the screen. We're encouraging you to pull out your Bible app, or the Bible in front of you and follow along. Starting in verse 21, it says, "They preached the good news in the city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them to each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work that they had been now complete. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there for a long time with the disciples. Much is summed up here, and as we've been reading, we could see sometimes Luke recorded very detailed sections for very specific reasons, and in other times like this, you know, this is probably a period of time of weeks, if not a month, of all this happening, and then maybe even a little bit longer to get back home. But we see really three key points to the message today, and we're going to talk about those, and they all center around this idea of strength to finish the journey, and something that we can witness and see in Paul and Barnabas. Now, much can be gleaned from this section, I believe, and personally, in my faith journey, what God keeps showing me over and over again, especially in the last few weeks, is this idea of seasons. Seasons start and seasons end. And when you're young, you feel like, boy, life is just going to go on forever. I had flashbacks a couple of times doing the weddings this week to 26 years ago. What was I feeling when I was getting ready to marry the love of my life at 22 years old, thinking I had everything figured out and was getting ready to teach and launch out of this new journey that God had for me? And I can tell you again, I am glad that God doesn't always show us every piece of the journey ahead of time, because there are steps that I probably wouldn't have taken had I known what I know now. But on the same token, looking back and relishing those moments, the different seasons of life. You know, I've learned that seasons end, transitions are hard and challenging. And the older I get, I begin to understand Solomon just a little bit more about the seasons he talks about in Ecclesiastes, and that there's a season for everything. Not all of them are pleasant. Not all of them are bad, but many of them lead us closer to Him. And God provides the strength that we need every single day to be faithful and obedient to Him. So three points I want to pull out of this. The first one is this. If you're a note taker in the bulletin, I've got Paul and Barnabas stewarded well. So the idea of stewardship, they stewarded well. They continued doing what they had been set out to do. This idea of stewardship is one that's all throughout Scripture and is very applicable in all areas of our life. See, what's interesting to me about Paul and Barnabas is after they got thrown out of places, they did the crazy thing of many times going back. As we see in verse 22 and 24, if you read those places that they went back to, every single one of them that they had left, they didn't leave necessarily because it was pleasant. They were either thrown out, in some cases stoned, or they just plain old knocked the dust off their sandals and left. But as we read in verses 22 and 24, as we read, we see that there's really three things going on here as we're talking about stewardship that are really applicable to our life. The first is this idea of strengthening and encouraging. It says that they returned back and they strengthened and encouraged those that had placed their faith in Jesus. And this is an incredibly important thing to notice here. This is a great principle as it comes to church. That's why I talk about this idea of discipleship so much. It's being strengthened and encouraged. And while we talk about fellowship so very often, and it's why we've tried some new things this summer around fellowship and even bribing you to come on a Wednesday night to eat ice cream with me. I mean, we do that a couple times through the summer. It's a way to get people together, to spend time together, to get to know each other, to share in prayer requests a little more intimately, and to enjoy good things together. And Paul and Barnabas, I'm not sure what they did, but I'm venturing to say that in this strengthening and encouraging, there was probably some fellowship that was going on. The second thing they did as part of this growing, this stewarding process, remember, thinking of this idea that Paul and Barnabas were coming back through one more time as they were heading home back to the launch site, launch city, is that not only did they strengthen and encourage, but they also appointed elders and leaders. And this was really important because Paul and Barnabas were the evangelists, right? They were out there leading people to Christ. But what's so important about that is they were creating a structure in the local church that these churches could continue to grow spiritually. On their way home, they provided this safe and reliable structure of elders, of men that would lead these churches that had just formed. They had been entrusted. Paul and Barnabas were entrusted with this ministry and they were stewarding it well. They prayed and fasted. And the last thing that they did was they committed them to the Lord. One translation says commended them to the Lord. In other words, this idea of handing back over this mission to the Lord. And I think this is really a key element of stewardship when we think about this idea of seasons in life. It's this idea of surrendering what has been entrusted to you back to the Lord. And that's in that portion of our life, perhaps the hardest thing we have to do. Two examples in my life that seem to just rise to the surface is number one in finances. I think about when we're given, whatever we're given by the Lord, whatever we earn, we have a responsibility of stewardship. Because the Bible tells us that all things are God's, okay, and He's entrusting to us a portion of that. And so whatever portion you've been entrusted with, large or small, we have a responsibility, like Paul and Barnabas, to be committed this back over to the Lord and trusting Him with our finances. You know, one of the best places you'll see this is in the area of giving or tithes and offerings to the church or different ministries, is that you're entrusting a portion of what God has given you back over to Him for whatever ministry or church that you are supporting. And this is clearly seen throughout Acts and other elements of the New Testament. And we're not going to get into the nitty-gritty of tithing, because I know whenever we talk about that, there's lots of questions. But I want you to understand with this is that I believe firmly that God gives us whatever He gives us, He expects us to give a portion of that back over to Him on top of managing what we have well, trusting Him with that. And I can tell you that as someone who has been in the same position as many of you at different times, sometimes you get worried when you start looking at the bills and what you bring in, and you go, well, if I give any of this back to God, I won't be able to pay my bills. And what I'm here to tell you is, whatever you trust God with, whenever you trust Him with that, it's almost as if He multiplies that back into blessing. And it's not that it gets easier, But I can tell you there's crazy things that have happened in our lives, like milk. I share this story a lot. When we were just married, or we just had Tyler, there was this gallon of milk, and we had not enough money. Like, we were down to zero in the bank account. We didn't get paid till Friday. Tyler was drinking milk like it was going out of style. And this gallon of milk, I swear to you, was at the same level every single day for a week. And I can't take you back with me and make you believe me, but trust me, this happened. And so when God works and when you are faithful and you steward well, look what Paul and Barnabas were able to see. They could have just not gone back. They could have not committed this to the Lord. They could have just said, all right, God, we're done. But they were faithful in their stewardship, and just like that with finances. The other one that's really become evident in my life is parenting. You have this little baby, and you think, I'm the one that's got to do this. I've got to raise this child. And what I've seen is the older my kids have gotten, now I've got a couple of adults. Yeah, Grace, I count you as one of those adults. And Tyler. And I got to let go. I've got to commit them to the Lord in prayer. It doesn't mean my job is done. I'm always going to be dad. I'm always going to be hopefully one of the people they call if they need advice or anything like that. But my role has changed. And I had this conversation with Tyler a couple years ago, and I said, last year, you're 20 now. I'm not asking you to tell me where you're going for permission. I just need to know where you're at. Our roles change. Anybody who's had kids can understand when seasons come to an end, it can be challenging. But Paul and Barnabas give us this tremendous example of how you were steward well. They stewarded well. The second thing is, and we look at verses 24 to 26, the second point we see is that Paul and Barnabas finished well. They finished well. In verse 26, it says, from Attalia they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. I think I've got the map in there. I just want to put that map up there. So they started to your right in Antioch, in Syria, Antioch, and had gone down to Cyprus, up to Perga, up to Antioch near the Galatian region, Iconium, Derbe, Lystra, and now they were kind of heading back, and they were sailing from that A city, Attalia, in the Pamphylia region, back, and they had returned to Antioch. And what we learn from this is they finished well. They finished well. That says for that they had completed the work by the grace of God. They had completed the work that they had set out to do. You know, they ended at the same spot where they started. And the Holy Spirit had commissioned them not too long ago, and they finished well. And again, we see this idea of two things that kind of run throughout Scripture. The one is seasons. I've talked about that, the seasons of life. The other is surrender. Idea of surrendering all that they had to follow that mission. See, they had surrendered the timing of this. I'm sure they probably wouldn't have chosen for Paul to be stoned. That probably wasn't on their list of things to do in this journey, or the time that it would take, or the sickness that would occur, or the hundreds and hundreds of miles that would incur on walking. I'm not sure. But they surrendered that to the Lord. And I think what's just as important is they surrendered the ending time of this journey. See, the seasons of life continue on. There's always a beginning. There's always an end. And when we're following the Lord, there almost certainly is a purpose. And in the same way in life, when we are in ministry, God calls us into and out of seasons. Now, God's called me in to be a pastor of this church in this season. And at some point, it's going to end. And so don't worry. I'm not telling you it's going to happen soon. I'm just saying that as a leader, I understand that God has had me here for a time. And I am so thankful for Dan and Sue and their faithfulness to understand when the season was changing for them. And Daniel got diagnosed with Parkinson's and realized that he needed to start praying for who was going to be next. And he did so faithfully. And then as we handed the reins over to me to lead, I can never say enough thank yous to them and how they led and how they got out of the way, supported me, and never once got in the way of the ministry that was happening. That would have been hard. They had poured their blood, sweat, and tears into this calling that God had led them to for nearly 20 years. And now that God was saying, the torch is being passed. And can I tell you that that's not normal? They are extraordinary, and I wish they were here. They're such extraordinary people in the way they continue to lead. Dan showed up every time I had a crazy idea about a new ministry, a new event. He was the first one in the door. Sue was always there to support in any way she could. And we need to celebrate God leading through leaders like that. And I pray that someday, when it's my turn to hand that mantle to somebody else, that I have half the grace that they have. Paul and Barnabas give us this tremendous example. They understood it was time to move on, and they surrendered the season to the Lord, and they finished well. They absolutely sought the Lord with all they were. They had tremendous and faithful obedience. They were committed, it says, to the grace of God, and they finished well when the season was over. So the third thing that we can see after they finish well, the last thing I want to say is in verse 27, we see that Paul and Barnabas testified well. You know, I loved that it worked out so well that God planned it, that it would be on a fourth Sunday and we'd have testimony, and you guys shared out so well. Paul and Barnabas gave us a tremendous example. They returned and reported all that God had done, all the doors that were open, and they testified well. Surrendering, of course, to the authority of God and what had happened. They were sent by the church, they were commissioned, and they were equipped, and they now returned to share what God had done. You know, that's really why the heart behind our testimony Sundays every fourth Sunday is we try to do that every month, because I just know that God is working in your hearts. Sometimes I know, sometimes I don't know, but I know that God is working because I can just feel it in these times that we get to share what God's done in your life. You get to share what God's done in your life, testify to Him. And I can tell you this, most times it's the testimonies that have a far greater impact on people's lives than sometimes even the things that I try to say so eloquently. So thank you for sharing those testimonies. It's a chance to share and to testify all that God is doing in and through your life. You know, so many times we're quick to ask for prayer, and we should be. We absolutely should be. But oftentimes we're not nearly as quick to testify to what God is doing. The church equipped Paul and Barnabas. They commissioned them and they sent them out. And I think that's a really important reason why it was recorded, is to give us the example of how we can testify well. Now in verse 28, I love simple verses like this where Luke records that, and they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Don't you love? There's no detail there. He just says they stayed there. So there's a couple of things that we can pull out of this, though, I think, in understanding is Paul and Barnabas would have been tired. They were on the mission. They got back, and I think what probably happened in here was some time of fellowship, some time of rejuvenation. They fellowshiped well, they rejuvenated. And I think that we need to realize that Paul and Barnabas went through a really strong spiritual test here, and they needed some rejuvenation. And I think this is a good lesson to us, that we need to also find times to stop. We need to find times to not only testify well, but to rest well. I was just talking to someone this morning, you know, Americans, we don't do a good job of resting. You know, when we know we're going to take a vacation, this is what we do. We work 10 to 13 hour days every day leading up to the vacation so that the work will get done. And then we fret about it on vacation. And then we get back and we realize everything that didn't get done when we were gone. And so we have to work 10 or 13 hours a day. Does that sound like resting? Not to me. And I think one thing that's really hit me the older I get is this idea of a Sabbath, spending intentional time with the Lord, not just physically resting. It's not just what we're not doing, but it's in time of intentional seeking the Lord, especially in seasons that come to an end when we're on the cusp of starting something new. Maybe there's a new job coming. Maybe we're getting ready to move. Maybe there's, you know, you name it, whatever it is, there's something coming up on the horizon. Boy, in those times leading up to that, this idea of stopping and stayed there a long time with the disciples really speaks to me. Lessons for us, for sure, to consider for another day. So what's our response today in light of seeing what all we have seen and this strength to finish the journey is that Paul and Barnabas received strength to finish the journey, strength from the Holy Spirit. They trusted in God, and we need to do the same thing. Trusting in God to finish what He has started, what He's going to finish through us. Seasons of change require a whole lot of the Holy Spirit. How we finish the season matters, and when we give that testimony of what God has done. When seasons are coming to an end, trusting God to carry on what He has started. I think that's the biggest thing we walk away from this on, is that God is working. You know, maybe the three worst words that a person can say is, I've got this. In other words, we know we're going into a tough season, and we can say, I got this. Rather, we should be starting with, God, lead me. Realizing that God is invested in us. And ultimately, here's the cool thing. God is the one that's responsible for seeing God's work done, right? Sometimes we get a little overzealous and we want to tell people about Jesus and lead as many people to Jesus as we can, but the Word tells us to be witnesses. We don't save people. God does. And so there's a lot of hope in that. I'm thankful that God doesn't need me to save other people, but He chooses to work through me to be a light. And Paul and Barnabas give that tremendous example of living ministry, doing what God has called them to do well, even to the end of that journey. And I think they give us quite a benchmark to consider. Praying for you that as you're considering launching out, maybe there's something, a season that's ending, or there's a season that's getting ready to start for you. And I want to encourage you, no matter where you're at in that journey, to always steward well. Know that it's all God's, and He's given you the resources to do whatever He's asking you to do. And your responsibility is to steward it well. Always remembering to finish strong and then give Him all of the glory. And as a disciple of Jesus Christ, all are called to the same larger mission that Paul and Barnabas were called to be a witness for Jesus. So that might be in your local place where you work. It might be in Panera. It might be wherever you go, you are called to be a witness. There might be some differences in our location, our role, and our timing, and what season we're in, but the matter is the same. We are all called to be witnesses. We're entrusted with the mission and the message, as we would read in 2 Corinthians 5, that Paul says, you are a new creation in Christ, and God has given you, given us, the mission and the message of the gospel to take wherever we go. Steward it well. You are entrusted with a season. Finish well. You're entrusted to be His witness, and I encourage you to testify well. As the worship team comes forward, and as we finish out our service today, singing the song Gratitude, I'm reminded of a study that I started recently. R.C. Sproul did a series of talks about the holiness of God. And he's been in Isaiah chapter 6, and I've been watching, reading along with him. And I can tell you that the closer I get to God, the more gratitude I have, and I realize that I am unworthy, but because of Jesus, I am now considered to be worthy.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. If you want further information about Grace Community Church, you can visit us at gccofalliance.org. Also note, the video for this message, for this sermon, is linked in the details below. Have a great day.